JKT Mobile.
W4DJW stationary.
Good morning, Dave. Hope both of y'all are having a wonderful start to your day.
Patrick, good morning, Dave. Yeah, just got off my breakfast stop and headed down 85.
Same here, drinking my first cup of coffee after the second trip, taking the dogs outside at 2 o'clock in the morning and a half hour ago. We're all back inside and warming up, but it's going to be a good day today. Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Eric.
It's going to be a good day today. It's supposed to get up to almost 40 degrees or above 40 today, so looking forward to that.
It's pretty brutal. I don't think we got over 30 in Shelby yesterday.
When I was outside with the dogs, it was okay as long as the wind wasn't blowing. But boy, when that wind kicked up, it was no fun at all.
It did get nice yesterday. I did have to take the hoodie off when I was in short sleeves. But I'm looking forward to some warmer weather.
I went out to try to do my run this morning, and I walked out the front door and just turned around and walked right back in.
Today at this time, I think it was said it's 17 degrees and feels like minus 2. In Greer, and today it says it's 17 degrees. I haven't seen what it says it feels like yet.
Port of Traveler's Rest on Highway 11, and it's about 15 degrees right here, which typically is just a little bit cooler up this way.
At Shelby when I left, and I've got 22 here in Cowpens. It's on 85 south, but, you know, it's on the interstate, so it'll be a little warmer.
Same thing here. I found it feels like it's 15 today. I guess that's because of the humidity and the wind. Lower humidity and lower wind means less penetration of the cold.
The house, it was still 10 degrees when I come out. So, same as yesterday. It was cold.
Today is still spring.
Hey, Eric. I've been working on DeWalt tools a lot. Getting batteries for the ones that I have them, but they were scattered all over the place. I've got them all collected in one place and got chargers for them. And I was reading some information about there's a 15-amp-hour battery that, and there's a 9-amp-hour battery and a 12-amp-hour battery. They say the technology for the 9 and the 12 is going forward technology, but for the 15 is old technology, and not to get the 15. I got a vacuum cleaner, a portable vacuum cleaner, and it takes a lot of energy to run it, kind of like a chainsaw or a blower motor. Have you heard anything about the battery technology on going forward on the power tools? Have they changed technology or something recently?
I can give you a little miniature dissertation on that. So what DeWalt is doing is they have started using pouch cells in some of their batteries. And the pouch cells, at the expense of safety, give them lower DC internal resistance and the capability to push a little bit more current. We looked into doing pouch cells, but you know, the safety implications were a little too great for us to stomach. So instead, we reinvented the cylindrical cell. So what we're doing is we're doing what we call tablet cylindrical cells that are very similar to pouch cells, except they're still in a safety can, and they have very low DC internal resistance. So if you've got a 15-amp-hour battery on traditional cylindrical cells, it'll have a pretty high DCIR compared to either pouch cells or tablet cylindrical cells. But, you know, like I said, just DeWalt chose to go with pouch cells, and we decided to buy a battery factory and invent a new cylindrical cell that has similar DCIR characteristics to a pouch cell. So take that for what you will, but yeah, there's definitely been some leaps in technology and batteries.
Okay, and that's the ones that they call Power Stack. That's the one. So several of the reviewers said they cost almost, well, not quite double, and they're expensive anyway. So, but they said they'll last 300 times longer or something like that. But you're saying there's a danger factor in there that they're not telling you about. I haven't invested in them yet, but I got to get some pretty big batteries for the stuff that's, you know, going to take a lot of energy. And I don't want to make the wrong investment because that's a healthy investment.
I personally stay away from the pouch cells. I think the Power Stack is what they call it. But, yeah, we didn't really see any way to make a pouch cell-based tool battery safe. There's just far too many ways that it can get physically damaged. And, you know, you cannot physically damage a pouch cell safely, you know, without increasing the risk. So we tried it. We built a few prototypes. We did not like the safety implications of the pouch cell, so we just, you know, we made an equivalent BCIR cell in a steel can with the, you know, the interrupt device that disconnects the cell if it starts to increase pressure inside the can, and that made us a little bit more comfortable. But yeah, if you want super high current, the Ryobi Edge batteries are tabless, and then the Rigid. We've got a Rigid 8 amp hour and 12 amp hour tablet pack coming out pretty soon. And those are all based on the super low DCIR cells.
Well, that's exactly what I was looking for, to understand that technology and whether I ought to commit. I think I'll just hold off on that. Anyway, sorry to change the subject, Patrick. Go ahead and pick it up, W4DJW.
All right, because I have a question also. Ones, because I've seen they've changed the part number on their batteries, and now they have an R at the end of them for resistance, and they also come out with a new forged battery, so I'm assuming the pouch cell battery is what you're talking about there also.
Helping our tablet cylindrical cells, you know, because we're all the same company, so, you know, Milwaukee's not going to use pouch cells if we're using cylindrical, but, you know, Milwaukee was the first to get the tablet cells, so I'm not sure what their marketing is. Because, well, they're not located here in Anderson. They're up in Milwaukee still. So I don't communicate with them very much, but I'm not sure what their marketing is. But yeah, Milwaukee was the first one to use it. So if it's a new Milwaukee battery that's claiming, you know, like higher, you know, like lower resistance or higher current, that's probably the tablet cells.
What I figured, and yeah, I knew that y'all were the same company now, but I didn't know if y'all were sharing that technology or not. You never know anymore.
We didn't always used to share too much, but the tablet batteries are definitely going to be company-wide in all of our brands, except I don't think Hart's getting a tablet battery, but, you know, Ryobi's got one out there in production already, Rigid has some coming up, and then Milwaukee has had them in production for a while.
Close to a year now.
Double with you.
That was me. I started to say something, but I heard Patrick key up. So, Milwaukee and Ryobi merged?
I mean, I work for the parent company, TTI, and so TTI has Milwaukee, Rigid, Hart, and Ryobi, Hoover, Dirt Devil, a whole bunch of other brands, but yeah, it's basically part of a big conglomerate now, so we're, you know, Milwaukee's offices are still up in Milwaukee, and the rest of us are here in Anderson.
Okay, that's good to know, too. I did not know that.
That office is exclusively for floor care products, so Hoover, Dirt Devil, and some of the other floor care stuff that we do.
Hey, got double with you to start with. I'm sorry.
And that we had a floor care office in Charlotte.
Saying it's surprising how few companies are actually out there that own a lot of this stuff. You'll be surprised at what Matco Tool owns.
I was doing some research on Matco Tool, and you are absolutely right. They're a whole lot bigger than they let on to be.
You know, our parent company, they're way bigger than our.
The chart at the office that's got all the logos in you know, sections on the chart to kind of map out the entire tool industry, because there's so many companies, but they're all owned by six or seven large conglomerates.
Before DJW, that's like fish in the ocean, right? The big fish gobble up all the little fish.
For JKT.
Yeah, and it makes people feel better about being branded.
Well, Eric, you and Patrick carry on. I'm working on my first cup of coffee, and I just had that question because I've been studying it a lot for the past few days. Make sure I don't invest in a healthy investment in something I'm going to regret, because I saw some guys did regret their investment in that on reviews. I've been looking at a lot of reviews. And what you said kind of agrees with the reviews. So you guys carry on. I'm going back to my coffee, and the dogs are over here jumping all over me. They're wanting attention. W4DJW, carry on.
Morning, Dave. KO4HX.
It's always good to talk to you on the radio. Have a good morning and enjoy that coffee. W2JKT.
73 Dave, KN4GFW.
Have a good morning, Ken, W4DJW.
And KO4HJ, hope you're having a good start to your day.
Yep, doing well, guys. It's a little bit cool, but other than that, we're motoring down the road.
I've got your email and started looking into that software, Linux, Skype, whatever it was. I can't remember the name of it now.
And, I've used it before. I have been trying to install it lately, but there's some kind of bug in it or something that it can't detect my hard drive. And it's like that on all my computers. I don't know what's going on. I've got a bug report in for it, but your mileage may vary. But it's a pretty cool distribution because it comes with all the ham radio software you can possibly imagine and support for just about almost every SDR that's out there. Notably missing is SDR Play because SDR Play doesn't let anybody redistribute their libraries. So you have to install the SDR Play library separately on it. But it's pretty darn good. I've used it before and it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool and it does have a lot of useful tools on there. So I appreciate the idea of what's going on there and we'll incorporate some of that into what we're trying to work on.
I'm going to send that your way. Did you get the sharing notice for the contest folder that I told you about the other morning?
I did not. I didn't see it.
I will try to resend it this morning.
I appreciate it. Go ahead, Ken. Pick it up.
Good. I don't think I got anything to contribute to the conversation there. And software computer things really isn't my cup of tea.
Your field day this weekend, Ken?
Yes, and I'd probably say no.
On the back patio, throw a fire in the fire pit, and just work on my ST100D and buddy pole for a little bit on Saturday.
Make a few contacts, but I hadn't really thought about it.
Field day just up the road from you, Ken. You can ride out there and shake some hands and play radio.
Where are you going to be at?
Road, which is right there at the end of 290 where it comes back out on 25.
Give it to me again. I was going in that bad spot today. It was terrible.
Creek Road, the end of 290 where it comes back out on 25. It's right there in that area.
Back up in the hills where it was one time before?
Yeah, they've had it there for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You out there?
It's really cold. That's probably not happening with Susan. It'd be nice to see Johnny again. I haven't heard him on the radio in a long time.
Back into the nets a couple of times back during the storm and a little bit after, but I don't hear him on the radio much either.
To make it Saturday, KF4NX1.
I feel like it's making it up there, but I probably won't be there this year. I'm doing a winter field day with a small group of guys up in Saluda this year.
Well, maybe I'll get to see you sometime when you have to come down 25 to the test track, you know.
I'll be here in the next little while. I got to contact them and see about next month.
Okie dokie. Well, y'all carry on. I'm still working on this first cup of coffee.
David, KN4TFW.
Got a special event call. If you see K4W, that's us.
Start.
I'm not sure exactly the start time. It's, I think, 2:00 Saturday, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Field day actually starts now. They'll be setting up all day out there. So Dave might have more information on that if he's still listening.
More information on what, Patrick? W4DJW.
Day the club's having up at Jean's.
Like what kind of information?
start coming in there.
I think normally it's about 8 o'clock. It's going to be a one-day event. I've got to take the drinks up there early in the morning. Depending on how cold it is, I don't know. I might go up there, take the drinks, shoot some antenna lines, and then come back home. I don't know if I'm going to stay up there if it's freezing cold.
I was just trying to get Ken the information he was asking about, and that way if somebody else asks, I can get passing along.
I think it's 8 o'clock is when they start, and then it goes to whenever. I think until the last person leaves, whatever time that happens to be. It's not like they're competing to get the highest number of contacts with other clubs. They're just up there for the camaraderie. That's the main purpose.
That's kind of what we're doing. We're going to compete a little bit, but it's more about the camaraderie and teaching each other different skills.
That's another thing, too, yeah. It's about training. We've gotten a lot of new guys, and it's answering their questions and showing them by example.
Like I said, I probably won't be there because I'm doing it with another group of guys, so I hope y'all have a good time.
Likewise. And I don't know that I'm going to stay. I've got plenty I've got to get done here, and if it's miserably cold outside, I'm getting too old for that.
I appreciate you coming back in here and answering that question. Thanks for that. KO4HK.
No problem. W4DJW. I'm going back, listening on the side, but not 100%. W4DJW.
That answer your question, Ken?
I just needed to know if I got on, what time would be a good time to get on to, you know, at least make some contacts or at least try to contact you or listen to see if I could hear you guys.
We're going to camp out. We're going to see how that goes. Might be piled up in the excursion, staying warm, but we're going to see how it goes anyway.
Would you?
Shoot, no, she ain't gone. She ain't going to be out in this cold like that.
Oh, I just thought I'd ask.
Making fun of me.
Your home radio and listen to you guys.
Still out there.
In with the trucks.
Bit by one of them.
But, it is what it is this morning. This morning, let's put it that way. Now you need to drive 45 miles an hour in the middle lane when there's really not that much traffic.
To that, I could answer the questions of the universe, probably. But I'm going to step out here and grab me drink my morning drink, so I'll be back in a few minutes. KO4HK.
Okay, talk to you in a bit. So where are you at now, Ken?
Now from getting on at 66.
For getting, having some guy from Georgia drive up my back end here.
When they do that, it's plenty of room to go around, no other cars in the area, and they just want to stay right on your tail. And if you move over, then they just zoom past you. It's like they're too scared to change lanes, right?
I was passing a truck, and he flew up behind me, and as soon as I moved, he rode my bumper. As soon as I move out of the way, he kind of floors it. Then there's the other type that stays on your tail, even if they can pass you. They just rather ride your bumper. I don't get that at all.
Off the accelerator, they hit you, right?
I'll get on my cruise control, and if somebody's riding me too close, I'll just back it down by a mile an hour every few seconds and until they go around me.
Usually, I lock her down about 63, 64, just stay in the right lane and try to stay out of everybody's way, you know, especially when I'm going to work.
Off this interstate this morning, I don't know what it is, but it's like a full moon or stars aligning or something, but it's a little crazy out here.
Truck's out here this morning.
Yeah, I made that comment. I'm playing in the trucks this morning because they're just everywhere.
All waiting for the weather to clear up a little bit down in Atlanta.
Yeah. I'm back, gentlemen.
What do you do, JKT?
Man, got a big truck here. No trailer lights, no brake lights anyway.
Pretty basic pre-flight check.
There's usually a button inside the truck that says lamp test.
The clearance lights up on the top of the trailer are working, but he don't have no tail lights for sure. That'd be dead ringer to get stopped on this highway.
Passing exit 35, there's a DOT guy with a truck pulled over on the exit ramp southbound every single time when I'm going into the office, when I'm going home from work. I mean, he's just out there and he's got somebody in there.
There's a couple of them around. There's one stays up there and, up by me, up by exit 80.
DOT or transit police were working Whitehorse yesterday, so.
Enforcement, too. I saw a DOT guy had a car pulled over the other day.
With some assistance there with the shorthandedness of everything.
The propane delivery guy the other day, and that for a, a little clearance light on the truck was out. But they wrote him a ticket because, there was some kind of placard that was in the glove box, and it took him a minute to get it, and they said it wasn't accessible.
Go over the things that really don't matter and then don't pay attention to the ones that do.
Yeah, he was just a young kid to be the, it's probably his first time he ever got stopped. So if he knew what he was going to be looking for, you know, he could have already had it out by the time he got there. And that KN4 TFW.
Well, you know, we know what it's all about. You know, government wants money, so they have the cops out there raising money all day. Not dotted on your manifest, $500.
What I call them revenue sharing coupons.
Cole at Woodruff today.
My radio experience last week?
Don't remember.
Computer program on my computer, anytime that it was in the front, to be like you were going to use it, it would wash out the 610, only the 610 on the radio. If you changed a different repeater, it was fine. You roll that program to the back where you weren't, it wasn't in the forefront of the screen, and it wouldn't do it. I used to run my business for Macco.
When it's in the foreground, it's probably using some hardware in the CPU that it doesn't use in the background or something.
I was talking to Dave about it, W4DJW there, and I sent him a video where I could just click back and forth between them, and it would cut. You could listen in the background, and the radio would clear up, come and go. That's the only thing we could think of. It was using something in the CPU that it didn't like or
didn't used to. That is for me as well. Probably just some hardware getting used when it's in the foreground that it doesn't use when it's in the background.
It hasn't done it since that day.
You listen to that 98.9, right?
Listen to it.
Issues with the volume. Volume's good and then all of a sudden it's real low.
And I don't know what it is, but yeah, sometimes you'll be listening to it, and then other times it looks like it blows you out, or you can't hear it, one or the other.
I just had a guy at work, he always listens to it, and he's like, it's come and go. He thought it was his car radio, because he could, you know, you'd have it on, and the volume be fine, and all of a sudden it just get so low you couldn't hear it, and then you'd turn away, and then turn back to it, and it'd be back loud again, so he couldn't figure out what the deal was.
The FM receiver has a really, really slow AGC, so whenever you get a static crash or something like that, it gets real quiet because it backs off the gain on the receive preamplifier, and it takes a long time for it to come back. It's kind of irritating because you can miss, you know, 10 or 15 seconds of whatever you were listening to.
I noticed I got one of those, I guess it's a shortwave listening radio on my desk, but it'll inside the metal building. I'm only good for the few FM stations, but I noticed it was doing it yesterday.
Listen much yesterday, so I don't know.
No, messing around with a modulation index on their transmitter or something.
Advertised now, they're what? I wanted to say 100,000 watts, but I think that's a little bit much, maybe 10,000 watts or something.
No, you're correct. They're a 100,000 watt station now.
Change the speed up here on up by exit 78 or 77 up here. You know, it used to be you had to drop down to 55, but I don't see them signs anymore.
Yeah, no, I think. Inside up at 90, just south of exit 90 is 65. And on the northbound side, I saw speed limit 65 signs out for a while. And I think they've got them covered up, but I think it is 65 there now that they're finished.
When we went up there last weekend, it was all finished on this side anyway.
More weeks before they're done up to 96, which is my exit, so I will officially be free of all construction in a few weeks.
I know when we were coming back through there in the afternoon, man, it was a disaster.
Heard y'all talking about batteries, and I think maybe Eric works for Ryobi.
How do you do, JKD?
Do you work at the where they've got? Well, I guess you'd call it the outlet store right there off 85. That there's a factory building there too.
In the office tower that's right off the interstate, and that's the outlet store is right off of exit 27 as well, and we've got distribution centers and other kind of buildings there too. But yeah, I'm in that campus.
Well, that's been my favorite tool store for the last year or two. I've got all kind of Ryobi stuff and a real assortment of their batteries, and I've had a lot of fun there. They had what I call, I guess, I don't know, a big yard sale thing. I spent $500 on tools and stuff that day. I have a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I've been working there nearly, I guess April will be 7 years. And, you know, I lead an engineering team there. So, yeah, it's a great job. I like working for the company. And, yeah, the store is dangerous. I spend a little bit too much money there myself. But if you're ever up there during working hours, let me know, and I can meet you over there and hook you up with my employee discount. So they encourage us to do that for friends and family. So, yeah, next time you need something, just let me know, and we'll figure something out.
That sounds good. I'd like to meet you sometime anyway. It sounds like, you know, you have a good understanding about electronics and stuff. I might like to ask you a few questions. But I'll let y'all get back together. I just wanted to, you know, get clarification on that because, you know, from what y'all were talking about earlier, KF4NXY.
Ask away. I've been an electrical engineer for 24 years. So, yeah, happy to help out.
Down to the gate, guys. So I'm going to say 7-3. Hope everybody has an awesome day and a safe day and stays warm. And I'll catch you guys back in the morning. KN4TFW.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to bail out, too, because I just pulled in and got to get everything opened up. Eric, be safe the rest of your trip. Dave, good to hear you this morning. And Ken, have a great day. KO4HKX, you guys have a great one.
Hey, both of y'all have a great day. I'm going to jump out too, because I'm losing the repeater down here at exit 35. So have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week. W2JKT, clear.